Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this July the 9th on the West Coast, July the 10th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone of the United States of America. Welcome to everyone listening to us around the world, especially on Blog Talk Radio and Wind Talkers Radio. And I understand some AM/FM stations. Boy, we're heard in Sochi and Kazan, Russia, as well as in Australia, New Zealand, Ireland. I know we're heard in Germany, Spain, London, England, all over South America. Lots of fans in Paraguay. I wonder why. And of course, I'm hoping we have a great audience in Hawaii. I know everyone is looking very, very diligently for the sealed birth certificate. So you folks let us know when you come upon it. We'll be very interested in hearing about it. You know which one we're talking about. Got listeners up in Canada. I want to thank Dorothy for alerting me to a show that she heard on BBS Radio on the 4th of July, featuring a gentleman I've not been able to research yet, but he was on the James Gilliland show. And so I'll check that out, Dorothy, and see if I can invite Andrew to the show. Let's see. What else is going on? Well, I want to say hello to all the folks in the military around the world who have been really looking into this question that I've raised through six articles in a series called The Three Stooges Go to Washington, and I'm still working on part seven. It's worth it, though, folks. I'm not dragging my feet. I'm spending about 22 hours a day on just the writing and little bits of research, putting this together. And I write very quickly. I think I'm a pretty lucid writer. There's a lot of fact and dot connecting taking place here. I ran out of some string, so I had to order some new string. There's so many dots, but they're getting put together. Interesting photographic evidence added or to be added to this series, both in the old rerun players, I'll call them, and these are the fictitious families that we've been presented, as well as some really interesting photographs of the new family members that I'm going to be introducing. At least I'll be introducing one and some distant relatives. I think you'll find it extremely interesting. Now, to boot, on past shows, I've mentioned, especially within the last couple of nights, I've mentioned the fact that the records that we've uncovered on the Internet revealing massive money laundering, especially in real estate, are being removed or being blocked from easy access. Not to worry, though. I think we can pretty succinctly make our point, get our point across, that you will undoubtedly understand very well what has been going on and what's leading to the destruction of this country, despite what you're told in the media, despite what you're told. I encourage you to check out my website from time to time, even with all the work I'm doing. I'm doing some research, stumbling across some things that I feel are newsworthy. And so go to directlightproductions.com, click on articles if you're interested in reading this genealogical research. And it doesn't hurt to read it two or three times. You'll really get a grasp on it. I'm seeing the numbers go up every day. I'm excited that the truth is getting out. That's the whole thing. If you notice, I'm not really selling anything on my website. You don't come to my site to spend money, but I do urge you to check out the sponsors. The few sponsors that I have put out very good product, whatever it is that you might be interested in. Check those things out. Check out the books page. Check out the documentaries page. We've got the call from 26,000 miles in space from the United Galactic Federation galaxy of Hendon, still up there. More people are coming to the site every day to watch that video. We also extend our greetings this evening to those people in Project Alliance, and many names. Maybe I'll call off some of the names at the end of the show. Anyway, it's time now to move forward and invite back a frequent guest here on Evident Footprints, and he's a very popular guest because he's very knowledgeable about a lot of subjects, and I like having him on for that reason. We get into some pretty deep conversations, whether it's about metaphysics, mind control, political corruption, banking corruption, outer space, and inner space, and that which is in between. He's got a very popular website on the internet called educate-yourself.org. He's an investigative journalist, a serious researcher, an inventor and builder of metaphysical items that are great for warding off evil spirits, and he's also our good friend, my good friend, Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Don. It's a pleasure to be on with you again.
Well, I know you've been really busy. What's going on in your world these days?
Well, I'm pretty busy. I'm trying to spend most of my time recently making products for different people that are interested in what I offer on my website. So that's taking up the bulk of my time. However, there's perhaps five areas that I'd like to briefly discuss, you know, in tonight's chat. As sort of, a roundup, if you will, of topics which I've discussed before, which we've talked about, but perhaps we can call it a progress report. And in some areas, I'd like to emphasize what I think we should focus our concerns on. So
okay.
I don't know if I'll be successful, but I'm going to try to briefly touch on five topics and perhaps devote 10 minutes or so, 10, 12 minutes to each one. The first thing I'd like to bring up is I'd just like to talk about chemtrails for a moment and the activity of sylphs in detoxifying, neutralizing, and otherwise destroying chemtrails. I continue to get emails from people in other parts of the of this country, but also especially other parts of the world, England being a good example, in which the person sending the email is lamenting how bad the chemtrails are in their area and how sick they are of them, and that they're also reporting symptoms. It doesn't take long with steady chemtrail bombardment, particularly in the very young and the very old. To notice symptoms, because they're dropping a lot of immunity depressing toxins in chemtrails. For the past month, well, at least for all the month of June and part of the month of July, we've hardly had any chemtrail activity in Southern California. I mentioned to you last time that in early June, June 2 precisely, there was a fair amount of chemtrail activity, but there was a tremendous show of sylphs on that particular day. It was an extraordinary day, not only here, but in other parts of the world, because I mentioned on a previous talk that I got a number of videos. And we had almost a solid month of no chemtrail activity, or so little that I couldn't notice it. Typically, I can see that chemtrails were attempted by the presence of sylphs. If we get a clear blue sky day that simply remains blue sky, no clouds all day long, obviously no chemtrails, no sylphs either. But when I go out late morning or early afternoon, if I see sylphs, if I look hard, I'll see the residue of chemtrails. And we haven't seen much at all in the last month here. They attempted it yesterday. There was a very modest attempt at chemtrails. But the sylphs came out in such enormous numbers, covering first in smaller size, and then as the day progressed, what initially started out as smaller size, numerous sylphs seemed to conglomerate into a giant sylph that will span from one end of the horizon almost to the other. They typically have, how shall I describe it, what looks like a sort of a very gradual tapering funnel appearance to them, and these huge ones that taper off from horizon to horizon. And the chemtrails simply don't have the opportunity to spread out, to become opaque, and, you know, to meld together and get this whiteout that we saw so often, you know, between, let's say, 1998 and perhaps 2004. And but yet, in many parts of the world, a lot of people are getting bombarded with chemtrail overcast, and you're getting all the symptoms and so forth. So I just want to remind those who are listening to this interview that you can defeat chemtrails by gifting, as we say, your area with these devices we call orgone generators. You can just enter that word into a Google search, and you'll come up with plenty of sites, including mine, that discuss orgone generators. I have information on my site how to make orgone generators. You can obtain them from me, and or you can go to others. However, if you distribute these, especially in the area where there are cell phone towers, they have the effect of turning that cell phone tower from a transmitter or broadcaster of negative polarity DOR energy into the positive form of orgone energy, which we call OR. And it almost acts like a beacon. It draws sylphs to your area in very large numbers. The second way you can attract sylphs is merely, in your mind, ask for the sylphs to come in to help. You don't have to say this out loud. You just have to think it in your mind. Simply invite the sylphs to come in to destroy, neutralize, gobble up, eat up, transmute the chemtrails, and they will. Now, the presence of orgone generators seems to help greatly in providing a, let's say, a atmospheric envelope that is comfortable to the sylphs. However, they will come even if there are no orgone generators in your area, but usually in lesser numbers. If you gift the area, like I have here, I've distributed these little orgone generators within a 2 to 3 mile radius of where I'm located, and I put them in little we have a lot of what they call flood control channels here that have a little bit of water running down the center of them. I've gifted these small 4-ounce orgone generators there, as well as with you know, the vicinity of a number of cell phone towers, and it seemed to make a big difference. The very first year I did it, I think I did it perhaps 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I can't remember exactly now, but I noticed the change. By the way, when I was taking pictures at the time I was gifting, later when I got home and put it on the computer, I noticed a lot of anomalies that showed up in the picture, UFO type, but other strange phenomena in the sky that I couldn't see with the naked eye, but it showed up with the digital photography, and that probably had to do with the fact that I was distributing these orgone generators. It seems to attract attention, the mm-hmm. attention of a lot of non-human observers. aliens, entities, I'm not sure what, but it was interesting how many things would show up on my digital photos.
I saw something yesterday myself, Ken, that I think is worth mentioning. Mm-hmm. I went out for about 5 minutes, and I was looking up at the skies, and there were these broken cloud banks like you get when the sylphs have been out there for 15 minutes.
Right. I call it transmuted cloud banks. Right.
Yeah. Okay. They were very high, broken up into little flat pieces.
Clusters. Right. There you go. Right.
And in the middle, lined up with my street, was a huge question mark. The open side of the question mark was east, and as you looked toward the west and followed, you know, toward the direction of the western horizon, it curved and straightened out, and there was a dot at the end of it, this huge question mark. Now, I thought, oh, when I go back home, I'm going to get my camera and take a picture of it. It was still there, but it had spread out, so it wasn't as easy to see. But I found that extremely interesting.
Yes.
A question mark in the sky. And, and I'm not exaggerating this one bit. I don't know what caused them to come. I hadn't summoned them. I laughed when I saw this.
Yes.
You see the sense of humor in it.
Oh, yes.
And the question mark, the shape of the question mark was a perfect question mark with the dot at the bottom, separated, of course, that you could see it as a dot. And it was also flat like the clouds. It was amazing, I'm telling you.
Wow.
So I thought but I didn't get a picture of it, unfortunately.
I urge you to take your camera with you. I always take a camera whenever I step out the door. I've been making a point of it for years because, first, you never know what you might see in the sky that you want to, but also I keep it in the interest of if I have anybody who's interested in following me around or et cetera, I'm always ready to take a picture. And I don't particularly have the problem, but others who do this sort of stuff, work, have been shadowed. And
I carry garlic in a cross around me. So
that helps around your neck. Yeah. So anyway, I always keep a camera with me whenever I step out the door. It's a good idea. So anyway, just as a recap, you don't have to put up with chemtrail. You can largely destroy them through the manner I've already described. Orgo generators help tremendously. You can either make your own chembuster or obtain a chembuster, but they make a huge difference. But even in the absence of orgo generators, call in the sylphs. You need to ask for help. There's a rule in place throughout the universe of free will is always respected. Therefore, you have a lot of helpers, assistants, guides, angels, who are in the spirit world, ready and willing to help you in any area you need help in. You need to ask. That's an inviolate rule. You must ask.
Mm-hmm.
But once asked, if you usually get the results you were hoping for. The more frequently you ask, the more quickly this help manifests itself.
Yeah.
And as the years roll by, anyone who does this realizes the reality of what I just said. You understand that you sort of increase the bond, if you will, or the communication channel between you and your spirit helpers by simply asking every day and communicating and expressing thoughts, ideas. Gratitude is very important. Now, I don't hear anything back, so, you know, there's no booming voice in my head saying, "You're welcome." No, it's not like that. But I'm quite sure that that spirit assistance is hearing me because they assist me in what I'm trying to do. If I need to have information come to me to help me do what I'm supposed to do here, It comes to me, usually in floods. And when I need help with something, I simply ask for it. I'm more absent-minded now than I was when I was younger. When I lose things, I simply ask to help me find it. Usually within 1 minute, I'll find it.
You've seen some of the pictures I've taken of the sylphs in my area, and I don't go through any special ritual. In fact, I have such an open channel, and I'm affirming what you're describing here, because I just say, okay, guys, time to go to work, and they're there.
Right.
And within 15 minutes, the whole sky is cleared.
Yes, yep.
Completely. And you've seen some of the shots that I've taken on in that respect, I'm sure.
I have many hundreds of, thousands of shots, which I have in my hard drive. I put it on, because if I take pictures, I upload into a new file each day. It's simply, I don't have the time to put them up on my website, but I have a lot of days in which I've just had spectacular chemtrail, chomping fest by the sylphs, and there's always a magnificent display of variety of sylphs manifestations. Very often, bird-like manifestations are very common. There can be plenty of what look like land animals, marine animals. They're all, and sometimes humanoid-looking. Sometimes they're just a human face that looks like a photograph. It's sometimes a human type visage is so pronounced and sharply detailed, it's remarkable. You remember the video I took in April of 2008. I sent you some stills from that you put up on your website. Those entities that displayed themselves there were everything from human looking to animal looking to bird looking, etc. So when I see sylphs, I see a lot of manifestations now, even without examining the, I can spot them in the sky now. Before I couldn't, but I only spotted them after I put the photos on my computer and studied them in Photoshop and altered the contrast. But now I can see them much earlier because I'm more attuned to it. So I'll just close with the idea that sylphs are defeatable. So go to my website.
You mean chemtrails?
I meant to say chemtrails are defeatable, and sylphs are the conscious elemental entities that flooded into Earth's atmosphere in early 2004 to assist in neutralizing chemtrails, which is, it's a worldwide spraying operation that's been going on for 11 years, since the beginning of 1998. And had it not been for sylphs, we probably would be much more ill, much more immune compromised than we are. Chemtrails can be defeated anywhere in the world using the methods that I mentioned. Now, the next thing I'd like to just get onto, and perhaps I can just get this covered in 10 minutes or so. Len Horowitz produced a number of fabulous DVDs. In addition to his very informative books, he makes some splendid DVDs. And I just got to view one 2 days ago that he made in 2007. The title is In Lies We Trust. And it has to do with the government's role and the CIA's role in engineering and developing virtually all of the, quote, mysterious new emerging diseases that we've been exposed to. The government picked up where Germany and the Japanese had left off during World War II. They were both developing biological weapons, and the U.S. obtained their technology, their their information, their scientists. They were secreted into the country under with Henry Kissinger playing a very big role in this operation, under an operation called the Paperclip. And we continue to develop germ warfare tests following World War II throughout the 50s. The government has experimented on populations in major cities in America, San Francisco, New York, in subway systems, dispersing bioengineered, weaponized germs to see how many people would succumb to the effects of the germ, etc. If this isn't treason, I don't know what is. And yet, they did this. They even created a statutory law which essentially gave the military, the government, subcontractors of the government, virtually anybody operating in or outside of this country in the business of developing biowarfare technology, gave them a free hand to just go ahead and practice on the United States population as guinea pigs, just as long as you notify some local official. This could be the dog catcher, that there is no obligation to inform the public, to publish this information, and it's simply outrageous what the government has done to its own citizens. Well, the government, mainly of this country, but also other countries of the New World Order crowd, but mainly the United States, has been at the forefront, Department of Defense, the Pentagon, et cetera, using taxpayers' dollars, of course, have developed a large part of the world's arsenal of biological weapons. Now, of course, Russia was working along in this area when they were the Soviet Union, and even later when they were Russia, but particularly during the time they were the Soviet Union. And the government is responsible for the creation of all these killer viruses, starting out with HIV/AIDS. The people who took credit for discovering AIDS and for developing the test for AIDS, individuals like Dr. Robert Gallo and others like the late Maurice Hellermann, all the government-fronted experts were in fact the people who were behind the development of these diseases. And this includes Ebola, which is one of these specially weaponized diseases that causes internal bleeding when the victim, so that the blood vessels no longer can contain the blood. It can eat right through the lining of the blood vessels, and the person bleeds internally. And that began as a development of a bug that our government developed in the 60s called the Marburg virus, and later was developed essentially into a weaponized version that they called eventually Ebola. And then the CIA has caused people in Africa especially to and other places, India, where they've intentionally dispersed these bugs to see how many people would succumb to them. And in some cases, there was problems with CIA laboratories here in this country, Reston, West Virginia being the best-known case. I think that was in 88, in which the very lab people who were working on this themselves came down with the Ebola virus. So, hantavirus, Ebola, the SARS bug that they developed, I think, they predicted a pandemic for 2004. The bird flu, of course, which is really a cancer virus bug.
Let's and of course, not forget anthrax, too.
Anthrax was one of their big ones. This is the one that they had been working on, the British and the Americans, during World War II. And of course, the government and the government's minions were responsible for the so-called anthrax letters that followed in the wake of 9/11. What I want to emphasize is that this wonderful video, 2.5-hour video put together by Len, I just posted it to my website. There was a fellow named Jeff who sent me a link 3 or 4 days ago to a large number of online videos, all available free. I have to thank him. I'm going to post his info soon. But I found the video thanks to him, and I posted it on my website. I have it under featured articles. I have it on my vaccine danger page. People need to view this video. He made it 2 years ago. I never saw it. I heard of it. I never saw it. It's splendid. It's splendid. It's splendid. He does an admirable job in showing you the documentation that proves the government's lies and their liars and their propagandists who are propping themselves up in front of the TV specials. Will typically see from WGBH Boston and on PBS and on CBS, et cetera, explaining to us the bioterrorism, blah, blah, blah. And Len does a terrific job of dissecting their lies sentence by sentence. The government is behind all of it. And what they're offering as an antidote to the disease that they created, that they are subjecting the population to via chemtrails, via vaccinations, especially military personnel who went into the first Gulf War. They just decided they were going to use about 300,000 to 500,000 of those troops as guinea pigs and to see how well their mycoplasma bioweaponized infection would work. And there's at least 200,000 men dead as a result of that, probably more because it's contagious and spreads to their families and their offspring. So the current swine flu scare, totally concocted, contrived ruse. Of course, it's a bioweaponized event, no question about that. It is not working for them. For the same reason the SARS pandemic didn't work for them, for the same reason the bird flu pandemic, which they've been predicting for the last 3 to 4 years, has not yet occurred. And however, though, the government is going to attempt to force vaccination on us probably this fall. They've already, the New World Order representative from the UN, a woman named, is it Chu or Chang? I'm trying to remember her name. UN's Health Department czar raised the pandemic level to an alarming level 6 a couple weeks ago. And so anyway, I heard the show you did with Don Harkin a couple of nights ago. He very accurately pointed out that they're going to go ahead with this swine flu pandemic scam and try to force this entire nation to be vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. If I can interject something
here. Yeah, please.
In my recent research, I say very recent research, I revisited a particular character, Nelson Rockefeller. And he was married twice. The second marriage was to an ex-wife of one of his employees at the Rockefeller Foundation. His name doesn't come to me right away, but his second wife's name was Happy right. Rockefeller.
Right.
And her ex-husband was a virologist for the Rockefeller Foundation.
Right.
Also, Dr. Horowitz, for those listeners out there that are tuning in for the first time, is on BBS Radio 1 hour prior to my show every Tuesday night. He comes on the air at 9 p.m. Pacific time. And he talks about these topics quite often. So you may want to tune in to his show, too. I just put that out there because he's always promoting my show.
Mm-hmm.
So,
let me just take a moment to add a few kudos. Len Horowitz is an extraordinary individual. He's one of the giants among those who are alerting the public to the true dangers of the New World Order and their agenda. His blockbuster book, Emerging Viruses, which he published in 1994, put him on the map, and he's been steadily ascending to an ever higher position of in the pantheon, if you will, of the absolute top rank researchers and muckrakers and exposers of the New World Order agenda. He along with the likes of David Icke, for instance, along with the likes of Don Nicola, can distill the wheat from the chaff. There's a lot of people who, let's say, jumped on the New World Order expose bandwagon, and more power to them, but very often they're deceived by people playing disinformation games and muddying the waters and confusing the issue. Len is extremely clear-headed, focused, and he does not get diverted by disinformationists. He can usually spot them in a second, and he exposes them very well in his talks. Mm-hmm. One short example, there's a woman named Laurie Garrett who came out with a book. I'm trying to remember, it's 2000, 2001, 2002, somewhere in there, called The Coming Plague. I got the book, and it incensed me when I heard her on the radio, and I've seen her on numerous TV specials. She's one of these mouthpieces that they front for the story when we get it from propaganda outlets like Frontline or Dateline, etc. She's been on Nightline numerous times, and I would just become incensed to hear her contrived propaganda. The woman is a disinformation specialist, and she, of course, captures the mainstream's attention rather than someone, you know, like Len Horowitz. Well, anyway, he very adequately, Len, in his video, debunks her efforts and others who have tried to, were in fact, you know, working for the CIA, working for the Pentagon, who had tried to front themselves on TV specials, etc., as being concerned scientists and doctors. And one of those persons he exposed very well is a man named William Patrick. If you remember, during the 90s, especially late 90s, Nightline would routinely feature a guy from the National Institute of Health, Dr. Anthony Fauci. The man's a propagandist from the word go, and he's the guy who would be explaining to us what's causing AIDS and how these new developments in AZT and so forth. The guy is just part of this pharmaceutical government corrupt group who have virtually, you know, taken over all aspects of our government, and they're fronting lies to us in the interest of making a great deal of money at our expense while achieving the Rockefellers' goals and the Illuminati's goals of population reduction through, you know, a heading we call eugenics.
Yeah, when we talk about the Rockefellers or the UN, yeah, there's an instant connection there. You know, who gifted the UN building? It was the Rockefellers. You know, so there's a tie there. It's not an accident that the Rockefellers are in New York, primarily running their banking cabal, and that the UN is there. By the way, people think that they're in New York City. They've created that as a separate country. That's sovereign territory.
Right.
Smack dab in the middle of Manhattan.
Yeah. Mm. Similar to the city of London or the Vatican, for that matter. They are separate, you know, city-states within a country.
Or Washington, D.C.
Yeah, Washington, D.C. is another example.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'll just conclude. Download this video. You can view it online streaming. You can download it for free. You can make a DVD copy of it. You can distribute it freely. There's no copyright on it. Len encourages you to copy the video. If it's an important video, there's many important videos that are available, but you can access it through my website. If you take the 2.5 hours like I did to just sit down and listen to it, it's devastating. The public needs to know that the government is behind all these developed diseases, all of them, flesh-eating bacteria, you name it, the government made it. And therefore, their goal is to make money from us while poisoning us. What you don't want to do and what you need to bring to the attention of everyone you care about and love, do not get any vaccinations. Above all, do not get the swine flu vaccine if you want to live a normal lifespan, because they're going to use those vaccines to finish off the job that the chemtrails have started for them. Their goal is genocide. So do not, no matter what it takes, do not acquiesce. Do not bow to any demands for, well, you're going to get vaccinated, you're going to this camp. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. It's not going to happen. So everyone, they can't, at a practical matter, I realize a lot of people aren't prepared to defend themselves with lethal force. I am. However, if enough people recognize the enormous danger and foolishness of getting particularly this swine flu vaccine and simply refuse, they can't incarcerate the entire country. They just don't have the troops to round this up. And even though they have these 800 FEMA camps, it can't hold the entire country. The attempt to coerce and threaten the public can be stopped at this stage by making it clear to your state representatives that any attempt by the federal government to insist on mandatory vaccinations is going to be a grounds for separating from the federal government and declaring their sovereignty under the 10th Amendment. And if traitors and fifth columnists who are trying to maneuver this mandatory vaccination agenda into place find out early enough, it just isn't going to fly. This is where we're going to put the line in the sand, and we're going to take out our pea shooters, and we're ready. Bring it on.
There's even international law, Ken, regarding the military. That's come out of Nuremberg against this, that the military is to be advised of any dangers of a vaccine there, or the purpose of the vaccine, and they can refuse it. This is in international law.
Yes.
So
there is no law that gives the government the authority to force you to vaccinate yourself. And as you correctly said, first we have constitutional rights, but beyond that, there's no statutory law. Even the treasonous swine that control Congress can pass or have passed that trumps existing law, that trumps existing treaties that this government has signed and is required to adhere to. As you know, treaties are held at a higher level of
esteem.
Esteem. What's the word I want? you know, and the pecking order of the importance, let's say, of
or the hierarchy.
Yeah, the hierarchy. Treaties trump everything. If you, that's the way it is in our law and our constitution. Treaties are held sovereign above all. And as you said, we have signed these treaties, these accords, etc. And the government has no legitimate authority to force you to take a vaccine, nor will they do they have the legitimate authority, constitutional authority, to quarantine, to remove anyone from their house because you refuse. Now they're going to they're telling us that, but the entire country, I'm telling them right back, these treasonous swine, no, you don't have the authority, and no, we're not going there.
Now, you know, there's a principle. Ken, there's a principle behind all this, too. People are thinking, well, why is the government pushing this if it's bad for us? Why are they doing this? How can they be doing this? I can't believe that our government would do this to us. Well, first of all, they're passing these laws. They know what the FDA is going to approve because it's run by the pharmaceutical companies, and they say, look, you pass these laws, and you're going to make some big money. We'll let you know when the stock's coming out. They get a piece of the action. They make millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars, off of the stocks that they buy. And so this is all just a concoction for everybody to make money and kill a bunch of people at the same time. It's simple. There's no big mystery about why they push this beyond what you've already alluded to, that they intend to wipe out a major portion of the population across the planet and get rich in the process. So that in and of itself should anger people enough to say no.
Right. Yes, right. It won't come down to a shooting situation if enough people rebel at this stage. See, and if enough people understand that vaccine is very unsafe. Listen to Len Horowitz's DVD, his video, and you'll find out just how unsafe all vaccines are. Vaccines are laden with cancer viruses, all kinds of immune-suppressing, immune-destroying toxins and contaminants that are going to greatly affect the quality and the length of your life. Mm-hmm.
If the new reports coming out that they're putting nanobot technology into these vaccines as well,
absolutely. Yes.
You're going to have radio transmitters and receivers inside your body.
That's correct.
Manipulated electronically.
Right. Yes, all vaccines now, you know, particularly the swine flu, are preloaded with these nano-size chips, implants. So they're going to be able to track you wherever you go. More than that, they can do more than tracking you. Once you have these implants in you, they can control or affect your body and your mind with microwave mind-controlled technologies. They could focus right on you, and there are many thousands of people around the world, but especially in the U.S., England as well, who are victimized by these technology, and life for them is a nightmare. And they're trying to figure out how to destroy these implants and how to stop these physical symptoms that they're being tortured with, how to stop the voices in the head, how to stop the manipulation of their dreams. These people are going through a nightmare, and the reason they could get these energies to them is because they have implants in their body. So thanks for reminding me of that. So I'll close out with the reminder to watch the video. It's on my current news page on the featured articles. It's also on my vaccine danger page. The third area I'd like to just briefly talk about, just for a short while, perhaps 5 minutes, is the dangers of high-definition TV. I I put up an article from Dr. A. Truat in December of 2008 called The Sounds of Silence, in which he very adroitly explained a technology that was developed by the military, especially under the auspices of a man, a former general in the army by the name of Albert Stubblebine, who, along with his wife, is fronting an organization they call the Natural Solutions Foundation, played a large role in developing this technology. And what it is, it's essentially a subliminal form of mind control and the mind conditioning, that the technology you are exposed to the technology via the equipment they use for high-definition TV. So one danger of having, you know, one of those converter boxes or having the newer high HD TVs, plasma screen TVs, or getting your high-definition signal via cable, via wireless satellite, via the telephone line, or even via the antenna, and then it goes into a conversion box. If you're receiving high-definition TV in your home, you are subject to these technologies that Truat discussed in The Sounds of Silence. The military called the technology Quad S. I won't go into the story of what the technology is. You can go to December 15th on my current news page and read the article by A. Truat, Sound of Silence. A second concern is, and the reason you don't want to have high-definition TV in your home, is you're giving the NSA, the government, the Department of Defense, probably the local police department, a wide-open, wide-angle view right into your home and a microphone to pick up everything you say in your home. There is surveillance technology inside the conversion boxes, cameras, as well as microphones. When you're talking HD digital technology, it's a two-way communication stream. The signal can come into your home, a signal can go out of your home back to the people who are generating the digital signal. You're opening up a two-way highway. You have digital TV or digital radio, for that matter, in your home. So
Ken,
if you want to make it...
Ken, yes, if I can add, you know, this is screaming at me. Also,
yeah,
hotels and motels as well.
Yes.
They have pay TV for people,
yes,
that want to watch certain types of movies, and
yes,
you can guarantee... Christopher Story wrote a piece about that last year when he was tracking the Citibank debacle, when they were illegally holding $14 trillion there. He was staying in a New York City hotel, and they discovered that the CIA had set up a room on another floor. I think it was above them. It wouldn't matter if it was next door, above, or below. And they were virtually spying on everything going on in the room,
yes,
through the television set, and the TV,
right,
wasn't even on.
Right, right. Well,
so this is something,
yeah,
to be concerned about.
Very concerned about, and you know, a lot of people were aware of the fact that, for instance, the NSA, since probably the late 70s, had been able to listen in to the conversation in any house in America that had a landline telephone, because they could pick up and amplify the sounds in the room from a telephone that was sitting on the cradle. They could pick up the signal. This has been well known for anyone who looks into the government's surveillance game, probably from the late 70s forward. So throughout the 80s, throughout the 90s, the NSA, you know, it undoubtedly is recording in their massive, you know, Cray computers, the conversations of every American household that has a telephone, a landline telephone in it. But now in this current time and age, they've now have cameras as well as microphones inside all modern TVs and these conversion boxes, etc. So when we lost the digital signal on June 12th, well, that's the last broadcast TV program that I saw. Too bad. No heartbreak there. I mean, mm-hmm. It's a wasteland of garbage.
Most people are thinking, Ken, why would they want to listen to what I'm saying in my house? I'm not saying anything that's subversive to the country. I'm not breaking any laws. Why would they want to spy? Well, they just want to know in case Osama bin Laden knocks on your door and asks to hide in your closet.
Of course,
I'm being a bit facetious there, but,
yes.
You know.
Okay. Okay. Now, the third aspect why you don't want high-definition TV in your home is this. I haven't discussed it yet on my website, but the information has been coming to me. I'm going to develop it more, but it's this. Those conversion boxes, possibly the plasma screen TVs as well, but the conversion boxes for sure, when they're turned on and functioning, are radiating some sort of radiation. I have been working with a very sharp, intuitive healer, a gal, for at least 10, 11 years now. And when the conversion day came over, she was at the home of a person she's helping take care of. This person got one of these conversion boxes and was listening to high-definition TV. I guess must have been June 13th, because she called me around the 14th or so, and she says, do you have one of those? I says, no way. I'm not going there. I says, I got a big story on my website about, you know, the dangers of this subliminal mind control technology. I says, no way. He says, well, she said, let me tell you, I'm picking up radiation on that like it's unbelievable. Now, she's very sensitive, and she is has the ability to determine answers by a form of self-applied kinesiology. You know, usually you perform kinesiology tests on another person, but she's developed a way to perform it on herself, and she's been doing it for, I don't know, 18, 19 years now. She's very good at it, but she uses it as a way to determine information, to get to the truth of things. So she was asking her, you know, her kinesiology testing system, you know, how far does this radiate? And she picked up that she was physically becoming ill. She said it went out for at least 25 feet. She says, the severity started to fall off at about 25 feet radius and out. And she found that if she took an all-metal pot, a large enough pot, placed it over the entire conversion box, that squelched most of the effect. And it reduced from, you know, what was 100% down to perhaps 2 or 3 or 4%. She says it was a very dramatic change. So she says whatever it is, it's radiating from the box, and the metal, you know, the all-metal shield has the capacity. So it's something on the, in, you know, in the third dimension. This is not, you know, in a higher dimension. But some sort of energy is being radiated. Now, I told her that I have some very sensitive Geiger counters. I said we can look into see if we get any sort of reading, if it's ionizing radiation, alpha, beta, whatever. This counter will pick it up. I said we can also just test them by getting some unexposed photographic film, like, you know, 8x10 film, and just place it over the top of a unit for 24 hours or so, and then have it develop and see if anything shows up. You know, you can see the if there are any sort of X-rays or any sort of penetrating particles that are emanating from the box, it will develop an X-ray film.
Mm-hmm. So I would even suggest that you might consider a high pass and a low pass filter test to measure low vibrations, you know, in the range of, let's say, anything from 4 up to 11 or 12 hertz, and then do the same on the upper end.
Well,
the high pass. The high pass filter, and this is a really simple device. It's not real complicated. But when you do these types of tests, and these are done, these filters are used in recording when you have a lot of bass in a signal, and you want to just really cut the low end. You will use a low pass filter, which cuts the highs, and a high pass filter, which cuts the lows. Now, when you use those filters, you're going to get whatever that filter is tuned to. Now, if it can be a filter with a variable potentiometer that lowers the frequency as you turn it to the left or raises it as you turn it to the right, you can do a sweep. And you could look at that on an oscilloscope and see that. That's something that will be present throughout an entire audio soundtrack. It won't just appear when the people are talking or when there's music or where there's sound effects. Foley is what they call it in the movie industry. It's beyond the hearing range, but it doesn't mean a microphone can't pick it up or that sensitive electronic equipment can't pick it up. And I'm sensing that they're doing something like that, maybe using multiple octaves in a harmonic fashion. Okay? So, yep. And we know that this occurs in microwaves, which are much higher frequency. So,
yes.
You know, those pass filter tests, the low pass and the high pass filter, I would recommend a very good condenser type microphone with a broad frequency response, say from 20 hertz all the way up to 30,000 or higher if it's available.
Yes. Very good. Yeah. Very good thought, Don. Yeah. Go ahead.
And I like to make just one more comment, too. It's like some people say, okay, so you're saying don't buy a high-definition TV. I haven't checked the prices of them. I'm not interested in one. But I've heard prices are anywhere from just under $1,000 for the lower quality or the smaller units, up into, you know, $4,000 or $5,000, $6,000 for some of these units. Mm-hmm. And they're giving these away now when you buy a living room set, like a sofa and a love seat. They're giving free high definition televisions.
Right.
Why is it? You have to ask this rhetorical question. Why is it that not just the government, but now these businesses are so concerned in getting one of these devices in your hands?
Right.
And it's right. Obvious what you're describing is very sinister, and they intend to saturate the consciousness of the people, drilling this into your head that you're not with it. You know, you're not keeping up with the Joneses if you don't have one of these devices. Mm-hmm. And people are extremely addicted to television as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't call it programming for nothing.
Right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just want to remind people that you don't need to watch high-definition television to watch something on a television set. We watch videotapes and DVDs that we get from Japan or you know, we get from a DVD store, et cetera. So it's not like we no longer watch television. We still watch our tube-type television, which is easily, I don't know, 15, 16 years old, 17 years old. It works fine, 19-inch screen. Love it, no problem. I don't have to have a, you know, 4 by 6 foot, you know, panel on the wall. I'm happy with what we have. And so you can still watch recorded material and enjoy, you know, entertainment of whatever you want. The television quality of television is far better in Japan than it is in this country by a very large margin. The shows are much more human related, human oriented. So avoid high definition TV because you're really exposing yourself to a number of dangerous situations. The radiation is suppressing your immunity, and that's bad for you. That's creating stress on you. Many people have already talked about this on blogs. They noticed headaches, nausea, dizziness, lightheadedness. Unplug the conversion box entirely. Turn it off and see what you notice after a day or two. If that nausea, that ringing, those headaches, etc., go away, I got news for you. You're getting that stuff from the high-definition TV equipment. Turn it off, throw it out, get rid of it. You don't need it. It's the government trying to mind control you. Don't go there.
Yeah. And what comes to mind, too, is that they've, up until, what was it, June 12th, I think that was the date that I had announced to you on a prior show. We were originally looking at February 17th, I think, was the date. And then they announced that they had extended the time. The reason, they wanted more people to be able to get these devices.
Yes.
But the cable companies were really pushing this technology. They were doing these infomercials where they would sit a family down and talk about their TV viewing and how important it was to see a clear picture and to feel this sound. And it was meaningless. Those people don't look for that anyway. They're happy. Okay, this TV's okay. Let's get it. It keeps the kids occupied. And what you're doing is you're also exposing your children to this, and they're not necessarily going to notice what makes them sick. Children are not even all that educated as to describe what's causing how they feel. They'll just say, I don't feel good. I feel sick. They can't necessarily identify the cause or the place in their body that's disrupted and causing them to feel uneasy or ill. And the fact that that parents put these devices in their cars, too. I know people that have satellite TV in the car for the kids. And so they're going to be getting this in the car. Now, you may not be watching the TV, but if that technology is coming out into the environment of a van, you're certainly going to be affected by it.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Particularly any very high-frequency waves. You know, microwaves being a good example. When you use a cell phone in a car, the signal is coming via microwave. When you're sitting inside a car, a metal chamber, the microwaves are bouncing off the metal. It's reverberating inside the vehicle. You know what a microwave oven is? It's a microwave-generating device that's sitting inside a metal box that's bouncing the signal all around the box off the walls. It's bouncing back and forth. You're microwaving yourself. You're sitting in a rolling microwave oven when you use a cell phone in a car. So this signal coming through, think about this. This electronic pollution is bad news for your nervous system and for your immune system. You are causing all kinds of problems. We're not going to get into the subject of cell phone dangers, but it's huge. You're causing a lot of problems to your brain tissue with micro with cell phones. You got to be very careful.
And it's that reflection and refraction that causes the heat buildup. That's what heats up the food. Picking up frequency as it runs.
Right, and it's vibrating the water molecules within the food at such a high rate of vibration. It's producing heat.
Yes.
Yeah, so we have water in us. You know, we're 70% water. So when you're sitting in a car with a microwave signal, it's bouncing around inside. You don't really want to do that. The fourth topic, I'll only take 2 or 3 minutes to talk about it, and then we'll have to let the fifth topic go so we'll get to our next talk. I just want to briefly say that there's a number of doom and gloom psyops operations in play that been in play for a number of years that are all just that. What I'm talking about is the fear or the worry about the year 2012, that something of simply unbelievable proportion is going to occur in 2012. What's going to happen in 2012, it's going to roll into 2013. That's what's going to happen. Just like 1999 rolled into the year 2000, the same will happen for 2012 into 2013. There will be no unbelievable events. Okay? It's a psyops. There will be no Nibiru, 12th planet, Planet X, rolling through our solar system in 2012 and causing earthquakes, typhoons, the pole shifts, pole flips, wiping out 95% of the population in a matter of 24 hours. It's not going to happen. It's a psyops. There is going to be no end time scenario in which there'll be this huge, battle between Christians and Muslims, and then Christ is going to descend down from heaven and sit on his throne in Jerusalem. I call that British Israel. It's a psyops. All doom and gloom promoters, Steve Quayle et al., are psyops promoters. And people got to divorce themselves and realize it's the government, it's the Illuminati, and nothing but them behind all these fear-producing psyops. Any comment?
Yeah, well, yeah, just like Baskin-Robbins ice cream, they've got 31 flavors, you know, that they put out there. Mm-hmm. They hit you, they'll bring out a woman to deliver the information, an elderly lady, because they're nice, elderly ladies are nice, and if they get one that sort of reminds you of your grandma, and she says, well, I've been studying this for a long time, and you have to know this. They sucker in not only the senior citizens, but those that are still showing some respect to the elderly. Mm-hmm. Then they bring the young kids out, these bright young kids that are channeling from Venus, and setting up a website accordingly. Now, we talk about space and ufology and beings from other realms. We're not saying that those things don't exist.
Of course.
But you have to recognize, use some discernment where this fits into their plan. If it creates fear, it's not of God.
Correct.
That's the first rule. If it creates fear, if you get a tightening or sickening feeling in your stomach or a headache, or you start sweating, your palms are sweating, or the back of your neck, or wherever you sweat, wherever you perspire, right. then there's you, that's your higher self telling you that there's something wrong in that message. It's not resonating with you, and heed that. We're not asking you to believe anything. This, Ken knows what he's talking about, and I'm agreeing with what he's saying. We base these opinions on and our discernment on having studied these things and recognizing the patterns that are developing here. So, we get email from these clowns, too, trying to sucker us in that, the first thing they do is try to flatter us. And so they will, they're not trying to flatter you. They're trying to appeal to your ego. They're trying to scare you. They'll use the range of emotions that people feel out there, and they'll send their agents out there to deliver these messages. By the way, I do disagree. There was one thing that happened in 2000, at the turn of the century. Bill Gates came out with his Windows 2000, the Millennial Edition,
and
it was a flop on live on a live worldwide broadcast.
Yeah,
they couldn't even boot the computer.
Oh my Lord!
So that did happen. I just thought I'd share that with you.
Well, I won't get into the fifth topic because I know we're out of time, but we'll talk about it next time, and I could easily devote the whole interview next time to the subject of healing yourself. There is no disease, there is no health concern, there is no health problem that you can't resolve, fix, cure, and more important, prevent yourself. We can all be our own doctors. I wrote a short paper a few days ago in which I referred to the work of Dr. Huldah Clark. I posted it to my current news page. Her name is in the title, but I'll focus on specifics of how we can heal ourselves fundamentally with knowledge. You can attend to any problem yourself. You don't need the guys in the white coats. You certainly don't need the pharmaceutical industry to supply you with expensive pills that will harm you far more than help you. And you don't need hospitals. You don't need insurance. You don't need all these intertwined and intermeshed organizations that have been bleeding the American public dry for the best part of the 20th century. Mm-hmm. You can be your own doctor. It just needs understanding and knowledge. We are creatures of nature, and once you learn to work with nature, you can resolve any health problem on your own.
Yes. Well, Ken, you're going to be on our show next Tuesday, July 14th, so I'm looking forward to that. That's when we'll be talking about that. And I want to also notify the, if I may say so, let the listening audience know that I will be on Drew Raine's show for 2 hours next Monday, the 13th, and the Eastern time is from 5 to 7 p.m., 4 to 6 Central, 3 to 5 Mountain, and 2 to 4 Pacific Time. That's on Blog Talk Radio. The name of the show is A Marine's Disquisition. And we're going to be talking about some really important stuff going on. Hopefully, I'm going to have the Three Stooges Go to Washington Part 7 out. And you're going to like the title of that, too. I'm going to hold that back until the article comes out. But I think I'm adding a new dimension to this saga that's going on. And what I'm proposing, I think, is going to clear the air of these illusions that we've been presented. And it has to do with the Hegelian dialectic that Georg Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel philosophized and was taken a step further into a three-stage process of dialectical materialism by none other than Karl Marx. And I'm going to be talking about that and many other things. Sounds like a boring topic, but believe me, you'll be able to figure out what's going on. In fact, you'll be able to apply these principles to everything that's happening to us today. That's the technique that they're using to try to bring down America and to try to subdue the whole world. So we've got some interesting topics coming up next week, and Ken's certainly going to be part of that. Ken, thank you for being on the show tonight. It was very interesting information that you brought forward. I want to urge people to go to your site, educate-yourself.org, and you can spend the rest of your life on that website and not read everything that's there. Great information.
Thank you.
Any closing comments, Ken?
No, I think you've said it very well. I look forward to talking about the information about healing yourself with our next talk.
Okay.
So I do appreciate these opportunities to talk with you.
Okay, thanks for being on the show, and I look forward to next Tuesday, the 14th of July. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and our special guest, Ken Adachi. Again, his website is educate-yourself.org. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow for another great show. We've got our regular Friday night guest, Mr. Jim Murray, on board with us, and it'll be another interesting topic. In the meantime, I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.